light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, welcome to the first Sunday after Christmas, one of my top five Sundays of the liturgical year. There are two reasons that I love this day so much. Number one is that it feels like a family reunion, not so much this year because of extraordinary circumstances, but in a typical year, we go from Christmas Eve, which is a sea of people you've never seen before, or maybe once a year, or maybe you know them from outside life but have never seen them in church, and you see your friends occasionally across the crowd and you say, hello! And then on the Sunday after Christmas, it's just the hardcore. It's like the three people who are here and the 12 people who are on Zoom, and that's it. And if it were an ordinary year, there would still only be like 15 of us here, especially this year when we've had four separate services in the last week, and some of you have been at all four of them. I see one of you has been at five. We'll talk later. So I love this feeling of a Sunday after Christmas when we can just relax and be together. But I also love it for another reason, and it's because this Sunday is the day that we ask, and then what? We've heard the angels on high sweetly singing over the plain. We've seen the shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground. We've brought our torches, come swiftly and run, to see the beautiful mother and her beautiful son. We've rejoiced and rejoiced and rejoiced, for Emmanuel is come to us, O Israel. So, hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king, and then what? In the world outside the walls of the church, Christmas is already over. I saw a great video online of somebody in Southie getting rid of their Christmas tree in an ingenious way. They lived on the third floor of a three-decker, and you saw the window open and some greenery start to poke out. And slowly, so slowly, they shoved their entire Christmas tree right out the window and down onto the sidewalk with a plop. Easier than navigating the staircase. Our wreaths and decorations have started to come down. The wrapping paper has been packed up and thrown away. Everyone's getting ready for the next big season in our civic calendar, Valentine's Day. So Christmas has happened and is gone in the world outside. But for us, of course, the story of Christmas has just begun. I don't just mean the kind of pedantic liturgical fact that the 12 days of Christmas start with Christmas and go through Epiphany. They're not a countdown, but they start on Christmas. I mean the fact that the Christmas story is all about that question, and then what? The shepherds go back to their flocks, the angels disappear, the holy, happy family return from Bethlehem to Nazareth, their home. The brilliant light of Christmas night fades, and perhaps the parents begin to wonder whether all these strange occurrences have been a dream. There are lots of other stories that try to fill in the gaps, but the reality remains that the Bible tells us nothing of the next 30 years of Jesus' life. Actually, that's not true. There's one story when he's 12, but it's the exception that proves the rule. So Christmas happens, the Messiah is born, and then what? What do we do with that? In fact, the church calendar tries to make the odd point that after Christmas, after Jesus' light shines in the darkness marches on. Yesterday, the 26th, is the feast of St. Stephen, the first martyr, the first to suffer and die for his Christian faith. Today, December 27th, is St. John's Day. Happy St. John's Day. Maybe we should be celebrating. But St. John spent long years in exile. They call him the one who was willing to be martyred, even though he wasn't. And then December 28th is Holy Innocence, tomorrow, the day when those innocent victims, the young children of Bethlehem, suffered from Herod's wrath. So, like our brightest Christmas displays, Jesus' light shining in the darkness can only drive away so much darkness. It's still night, even if it's all lit up. The darkness doesn't end on Christmas Day, it continues after Christmas Day. But the light shines in the darkness, John says, and the darkness did not overcome it. This is a verse that tends to get hammered into clergy people's heads when they're in seminary, not only because it's beautiful and it's important theologically, but because it's a perfect example of the tense system of the ancient Greek verb. Bear with a nerdy point for a moment. You'll notice even in English, the light shines in the present tense, in the darkness, but the darkness did not overcome it. In ancient Greek that the New Testament's written in, it's even clearer. The light shines continuously in the darkness, and the darkness briefly attempts to overcome it and fails. John uses the rest of his prologue, when he writes the rest of his prologue, he uses the past tense. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being through him, and so on. And then he switches. The light shines now in the darkness. The darkness did not and has not and is not overcoming it. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. It's not quite true, what you sometimes hear, that the date of Christmas was set because there was a pagan festival of the sun on that day, and the Christians wanted to get rid of it. There are similar kinds of imagery, though. You can see why it works. On the darkest days of the year, at the moment when the light is the weakest, a new light is born and begins to grow. Night after night, darkness tries to swallow it up, but slowly, so slowly, the light continues to expand, and the darkness can't drive it away. It grows stronger and stronger. It lasts longer over the course of the winter, until finally we reach the spring equinox, when darkness and light are equally balanced. And then, soon after, we have Holy Week and Good Friday, when the light stops and the world grows dark for 3 hours as Jesus hangs on the cross. We're left hanging. It's unclear whether the light or the darkness will win out. They're equally balanced. And then on Easter morning, the dawn breaks and we tip over into light. And the light grows and grows and grows until the solstice in the summer. Just don't try to preach on this in Australia, where the seasons are reversed. So a bright light begins to shine in the darkest days, bending the world toward light, even as the days remain dark. I don't really need to tell you that we're living this right now, that we're at a moment in our world when the light of hope has begun to shine, when we can see the light at the end of the tunnel, and yet we're still living through the darkest days, when people have begun to be vaccinated on the one hand, and on the other hand, the daily case and death counts are higher than ever. But the light is still shining continuously these 2,000 years, and the darkness has never overcome it. Neither plague nor war nor any other kind of distress or danger has ever quenched that ever-burning light. Like a trick candle, the light of Christ flickers inexorably back into existence from even the worst setbacks. I normally hammer the two great commandments of love God with all your strength and all your soul and all your might and your neighbor as yourself as often as I can, because this is our most sacred duty, the one on which we'll ultimately be judged. But the good news this Christmas morning is that the slow growth of the light of Christ is not our doing. One of the readings for the daily lectionary for Christmas Day is one of my absolute favorites, from the first letter of John, chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. In this is love, the letter writes, not that we loved God, but that God loved us. Yes, we ought to love one another, because whoever loves is born of God and knows God. Yes, we ought to love one another, since God loved us so much. But this is love, not our love for God, but God's love for us. God's love made flesh on Christmas Day. Our love is only the echo of that love spoken in the Word made flesh. Our light is only the reflection of God's light as it shines forth on us. So there are still dark days ahead, but the light will still continue to grow, and the darkness will not overcome it. So rest in that light, reflect that light, and above all, rejoice in that light, for the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Amen.